Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, for obvious reasons, there's a huge concern about artificial intelligence and education. Just today, there were warnings about how it could compromise the integrity of our education system. It could even lead to industrial action here. But is AI all bad all the time? Dr. Cillian O'Fahey of Vagulium University in Krakow works in this area. Cillian, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Now, to concentrate a little bit on the bad side of it, is it feasible to detect cheating with AI?
The short answer is no, it's not. It's not because already OpenAI retired their AI detector back in 2003, I think it was. It's not possible to really, even using technology, even using AI, to predict whether or not something's been used by a student with AI. For a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a technical problem. But secondly, of course, students, teachers, anybody can mix AI with their own writing. For that reason, it's not really possible. It's not a solution to the problem of AI and cheating.
And even any kind of online aids one might have to find AI, they can come back with false positives, as I understand.
Exactly. And false positives is a serious problem for lots of reasons, not least because it would discriminate massively against non-native speakers of a language, neurodivergent people, other ethnic groups as well. That's already been shown too. So the problem with trying to use AI to fix that or use these scanners online is that they simply don't work for technical reasons. Then they also have unintended impacts. When we think about it, when I think about it myself as a lecturer, the idea of accusing someone of cheating is very serious. And the loss of trust or the breakdown of trust that can happen because of that is also very serious.
Yeah. Now, you've had personal experience with this in the sense of marking papers and suspecting where students may have used AI or not.
Exactly. So I've been involved in a project called Pulk.ai that I'll talk about, but part of it comes from my own experience. I was lecturing at KCL a couple of years ago, and I had this situation where I caught students using AI. They were all using odd phrasing at the end of a paragraph. I thought, okay, well, look, I'll announce them, tell them, look, you've used AI, you weren't supposed to, won't report it, but submit it again. And I announced that to the whole class. That was about 8 or 10 students. And all of a sudden, 17 or 18 students came up and said, oh, sorry, I also used AI.
Wow.
So that goes to show you that me, I have a lot more time than, say, a secondary school teacher for marking. I'm also, you know, I've co-founded an AI company, so I know a little bit about AI and I still can't detect it. And similarly, AI technology also can't do that. So we can't really rely on teachers to do it. We can't rely on technology. And part of the problem really is that the debate has to move a bit away from cheating as the frame, because cheating is part of that frame, but it's not the only way to think about AI.
Yeah, no, but at the same time, you could understand why teachers, if the curriculum here is moving slightly more towards project-based work, that they'd have a concern about that.
100%. And the speed as well, I think, is the largest concern that you get from the ASTI. It's the speed, it's the lack of guideline, it's the lack of training, and the problem that the blame or the responsibility for identifying that cheating should be placed on the teacher as well. I think that's a major concern because it is simply an impossible task.
Yeah. Now, on the positive side of things, there is perhaps potential for AI to balance things up, especially in the socioeconomic sense, in that certain families can afford to send their kids to grind schools, others can't.
100%. So that's something I am very passionate about, and I think it needs to be part of our debate. When we talk about AI, what we should really be asking ourselves is how do we create AI tools that are human-centric? That means solving problems that we actually have, not problems that big tech or AI think that we have, right? And one of the big problems we have in our education system, especially at second level, that we don't really discuss, and it's all the more so in exam season that we don't discuss it, is inequality. And grind schools are a major vehicle for that, right? So that industry, for want of a better word, is worth about 60 million euro, according to the SRI, annually. A place like the Institute of Education sold, and people don't seem to be fully aware of this, the Institute of Education sold, I think, for about 120, 130 million a couple of years ago. And that's just crazy. That's not the way our education system was designed. It's not the sort of thing I think most people want to see happening. So AI can help in lots of ways. So part of the project I've been involved in is called Pulk.ai. So that's an exam coach and an essay corrector. So for teachers, it's an essay corrector. So it uses AI to speed up corrections, which massively helps under-resourced schools. And for students, it's an AI exam coach. So it takes what grind schools give students, which is exam preparation, not necessarily teaching as such, but exam coaching, exam preparation, and says, OK, good answer there. Let's improve it this way, let's add a bit here, let's add a bit here. And it knows the marking scheme very, very well. And already I launched it with a very close friend of mine, Charles, and we launched it middle of March. We have approximately 3,000 students, Leaving Cert students, using it. We had approximately 1,500 teachers using it. And the response has been really enthusiastic because it's the sort of AI, it's an AI tool that's based around education. One of the big problems with the tools that we have now is they're not really designed for education. So they hallucinate, they create problems, but they're also, they give you the easy answer. Education has to be tough. It's like going to the gym. You have to sweat at a certain point. Mm. And the AI that we've built, it doesn't go, oh, here's the right answer, just copy and paste that. It says, okay, that was a good idea. Let's push that a bit further. What about this? It's the exact sort of feedback a teacher would give if a teacher had an infinite amount of time for marking. But as we all know, teachers don't. Teachers are massively overworked, and especially so in schools that don't have resources to match these grind schools.
Now, just before people start texting in saying, what, my essays are going to be corrected by a computer now, that's not exactly the way it works.
100%. So it's human in the loop AI. So what does that mean? That means that a human is always involved in what's happening. So, for instance, if we think about it this way, what we've been seeing in classrooms across the country, we think we've had usage in nearly every secondary school in Ireland now, in one way, shape or form, in some case across the whole Leaving Cert class, is that students write their essay, they take a photo of their essay, it's sent into the teacher. The teacher gets that essay, it's all converted from handwriting into text, and then the teacher opens the essays and scans down through the essay, and after each paragraph or each line, they will see comments that match the marking scheme. Now, the teacher reads the essay and then they decide, okay, I don't like that comment, or I do like that comment, I'll approve it, or I'll edit it, or I'll delete it, or I'll add my own comment as well. So it's really a tool for making marking more efficient, for enhancing what a teacher can do, but not replacing what a teacher can do.
Mm. And for students to get access to this as a coach, is this going to cost them money?
So at the moment, what we've released is entirely free, and we want to keep that particularly free for teachers. What we've been developing, we are trying to see different ways of funding it, because the whole idea was to see, okay, let's show that AI can make a positive impact. We'd hope potentially if we could get some funding from the state, or else also look at potentially some sort of freemium model. So there might be some limits on what people can do, but the core idea is to make sure particularly teachers have access to this for free, and to make sure that everyone who needs it can use it as well.
Yeah. Now, and obviously you've designed this with the Irish education system in mind and second level students in mind. There are God knows how many alternative various forms of AI up there. Do they always, even if someone goes to them, do they necessarily give the right answer anyway?
No. So this is a key point, is that AI has a tendency to hallucinate. And therefore, it's not reliable. It's sort of probabilistic. It sort of guesses what's the most likely next word, right? It's not necessarily a guaranteed way of saying, OK, I know the syllabus and I know what it is. So your likes of, say, ChatGPT, they're sort of jacks of all trade, but they're very unreliable. And they also won't tell you how confident they are about this, that or the other. Give you an example. I was asking it the other day in Irish what was the difference between an Uru and a Shevu, and it gave me back a really good definition of an Uru, but I'd asked it what a Shevu was. And that's a really big problem with education, because a student who wouldn't know would go, oh, that's a really convincing answer. That must be entirely correct. Mm. And the problem with AI that isn't built for education is that the AI that we built guardrails around it, not only so that it doesn't give students easy answers that they can just copy and paste, but so that we know what goes in and also what goes out is actually connected to the syllabus, is actually correct, and is actually a fact rather than something that AI has just magicked up out of the top of its head.
Yeah. All that, I'm taking from a lot of this, though, that when it comes down to it, that really the most reliable form of finding out whether a student has done the work and is the old-fashioned written test or perhaps an oral test.
So there's lots of problems with all types of testing, right? With the written test, with the oral test. And I think the way we need to go is some form of combination of all three, as well as project-based and different forms of inventive ways of using AI in education too. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the outcome of the subject or of the particular topic that we're teaching? And how can we craft exams so that they assess what we really want to be assessing, which is knowledge, which is critical thinking? And so a combination, I think, of all three and potentially other exam methods is what we'll see going forward as well. I think what's key there is that humans need to remain in the loop. We also can't think of AI as some sort of silver bullet. There are other problems across education that AI can only help with, but that help can still be an awful lot. Right now, the debate, especially around the reforms, is quite divided. There's a suggestion that teachers aren't interested in AI. That's not true. Teachers just want to protect their classrooms. They know what's good for their classrooms. They know what really works. When we've been working with teachers, what's been amazing is from any, you know, for regardless of age or background, I have teachers emailing me who have 30 plus years under their belt, teachers who are just newly qualified, saying, this is great, I'd love to do more of this, or this is great, can you add this bit? And that's been really uplifting, but it's not part of the debate at the moment, because there's a desire to say, okay, well, teachers must not want these reforms, so they must be against technology. Teachers are just cautious about protecting education, and they're right to be cautious, but it's about developing AI that actually is education focused. That's what we've tried to do with Pulk, and the response to Pulk has been really enthusiastic with teachers and students for exactly that reason.
Killian, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Killian O'Fahy there, Assistant Professor in Philosophy at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. And as you heard there, works extensively in this area and is also carrying out a survey of AI teaching across multiple universities across Europe. Jake says maybe we should give up on written projects and examinations altogether, and everything should be just done as an interview or a presentation. It's a good skill to give kids anyway. That's one suggestion. Killian's feeling, as you heard there, seems to be it'll be a combination of things. Not all young people, though, might necessarily, you know, that mightn't be the best situation for them, in the sense of they mightn't be good at public speaking. Plenty of adults get very nervous if you ask them to speak in public. Maybe the issue, says this texter, is that we don't tell kids that knowledge and learning is its own reward. We're too busy trying to make them into good little workers rather than trying to instill some wonder in them. Indeed. Now, that's also, I suppose, the higher up you go, once you get to kind of a state exam level in secondary school, it can start to feel a bit sausage factory-ish for them. And a lot of the narrative they hear is, oh, you have to do well in this exam, so you'll do well in the next exam, so you'll go off and become whatever mommy and daddy want you to do. I think we're over-catastrophizing in relation to AI in education, says this text. So half the stuff they're learning will be done by AI for them in their jobs anyway. So why waste our time? Well, because a lot of stuff they learn in school isn't necessarily in relation to a job they're going to have if you're teaching them about geography or history or they're, you know, very important general knowledge things for citizens to have in their head to some extent or another. And of course, inevitably someone says, I'm sorry, but don't teachers have loads of free time for holidays and in the evening? How is that overworked? I'm sure there's some teachers listening. Well, maybe not. They'll be working at the moment, but maybe some teachers listening to kind of give a counter argument to that. Someone else says, I feel sorry for kids at school these days. Well, indeed, yeah. And Joan Galway says, so it's possible for AI to hallucinate while doing a student's work and give outrageous answers. And then the AI correcting the work also hallucinates and gives an A+. Funny times we live in, says Joe. Well, obviously, Killian says that the AI they've developed doesn't do that. But I think when they mean hallucinate, I don't think like actually the AI itself is kind of having mild psychotic episodes. It's kind of guessing, hoping it's the right answer.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.